I don't do that. I don't do that every day.
No. 12 miles running with two fake hips. It's impressive. I'll give you that.
Hey, I'm going for... Hey, you know what? I'm going to get hips 3 and 4 at some point. Might as well get my money's worth on these two, right?
Fair enough. And welcome back to What Happened to Us with Nate, Sam, and Hugh. I got to move the mic over a bit. That's
Yeah, if my heart explodes during the recording, then just keep going with that.
I'll try my best to do what I can. Okay. But we know you're the more the solo talker than I, so... I actually haven't had to carry this very often by myself, so...
No. True.
Because I can pause it. So nothing very eventful happened over the weekend, I don't think.
This is going back into last week, but this is what happens when you record something and then something happens right after. We may have killed OJ. Honestly, of all the deaths we've caused, not the worst. Because you're right, I jokingly texted you and Sam, or maybe it was just you, right after it, and I was like, did we kill OJ? And then you mentioned, well, we did talk about Robert Kardashian out of nowhere last week. I'm like, huh.
And the trial did come up. So
I think we may have killed OJ, which, you know what? Fine.
You're welcome. No,
that's one less person that OJ's killed, am I right?
Oh.
That was wild. The public reaction was...
It was very weird, to be honest with you.
Like, yeah. I wasn't expecting anybody to, you know, wax nostalgic about OJ,
did.
I was expecting, people would have their opinions. I was kind of expecting people to just not say anything. The Caitlyn Jenner, the good riddance, that was not shocking because of that family's relationship. If people don't know, Kris Jenner and Nicole Simpson were best friends.
Yeah.
Like best friends. In fact, there were rumors for still to this day that allegedly. Hey, Sam.
Good morning.
Hi.
We're
driving.
Sorry.
It's okay.
We're just saying that we may have accidentally killed OJ.
Were you guys talking about him? I don't think it was an accident.
We were talking about Robert Kardashian last week out of nowhere, and then OJ dies. So I think we may have killed him. I don't, and that's fine. Whatever.
I mean, he had cancer, right?
Yes, he did. I didn't know he had cancer.
Prostate cancer. What's that?
I had no idea that he had cancer.
Yeah, he was. He wasn't exactly open about it, but he acknowledged that he's had it for like. I think he may have had it while he was still in prison. Whatever. Seeing all the memes and things of the Bronco chase, that took me back. You know, one of those. What, you know, our parent. Like, I know my parents. I don't know about your guys. Yours guys, especially. You know. Ones coming from other countries, but my mom still talks about the "Where were you when JFK was killed?" Because she was like 13. I feel like the Bronco chase is one of those. Hell, the Bronco chase and the verdict. Like, I remember where I was when the verdict happened. They wheeled a TV into our commons, our cafeteria in high school.
I was in drafting class. I wanted to be an architect, by the way, and I was in drafting class. And we watched the verdict there. I think that was the only time we were really able to watch TV in class.
It occurred to me when people were talking about it that, you know, the Zoomers, the younger generation. Well, I'm very curious with it. Like, I don't talk to very many Gen Z folks, but like, I don't know what their knowledge of the OJ situation was, because they didn't know OJ. You know, they didn't know the person before. Not that we knew him that well, because his playing career was before us. I mean, we knew him as an actor. We knew him as an actor from like the Naked Gun movies, but he wasn't like necessarily a childhood hero of ours. But like the generation now, they all they know is that trial, and they might not even know that much from the trial. But I remember where I was when the Bronco chase happened. It was over the summer. It was like in mid-June. I think it was like June. In fact, we're coming up on 30 years. It's June. I think it was like June 14th, 1994, something like that.
When the murder happened?
The murder and Bronco. I think the murder was like the day before the Bronco chase, I think, or maybe a day or two.
And that night, I think it was. But October 3rd, 95 was the verdict date. I was trying to figure out.
So
I was like,
that was,
I was like,
innocent people do that.
Yeah.
Yeah. So that was, Sam, that was our sophomore year of high school. Fall of 95.
People like to flee and have a gun to their head and have a whole bunch of money in their car trying to leave the country.
I don't think it was ever clear what exactly he was trying to do, because the legend was always that he had a gun to his head in the back of the Bronco, but like, I don't know what his end game was there. It's hard to do that and then claim your innocence for decades.
I think he was just like mentally ill, you know. Like,
yeah, it was just very weird. I've never really thought about where the Bronco has been all these years, but evidently it's on display at a museum in Memphis, I think. It's like a true crime museum somewhere in Tennessee. It's sitting in a display with one of John Dillinger's getaway cars and the Bonnie and Clyde car, not the real Bonnie and Clyde car, but the Bonnie and Clyde death car from the movie Bonnie and Clyde, the Warren Beatty movie.
That's funny.
It is located located at the Alcatraz East Crime Museum.
Okay. And isn't that in Tennessee? Am I wrong?
It's in Pigeon Forge, Tennessee.
Okay. Well, Pigeon Forge. That's where Dolly Parton's from. That's right outside Nashville.
Okay, there you go.
But oddly enough,
it took 30 years for Bronco to like
make a Bronco again.
Come back, you know what I mean? Yeah.
I'm sure there are others, but like as far as legendary car, like everybody, especially of our generation older, you hear Ford Bronco, you think that, right? Like immediately. Like I can't think of another car that you immediately associate with one particular thing.
DeLorean.
Okay, you're right. Now you got me. You got me. The DeLorean, absolutely.
Chitty Chitty Bang Bang. Oh, not Chitty Chitty Bang. Herbie.
Okay, you know what? I stand corrected.
Kit.
I feel like, I should have...
Magnum P.I.
Maybe I should have specified... Well, I feel like the White Bronco. But you got me with DeLorean, and although is Herbie the Love Bug? Is that even... Like, that's not really a recent reference. Even the fucking...
Lindsay Lohan.
The Lindsay Lohan remake was 20 years ago.
Coming up on 30, I think.
No, the Lindsay Lohan was like...
What kind of car was Knight Rider?
That was a
Pontiac.
Trans Am. That was Trans Am. Okay, you know what? I should have specified, how about non-movie TV related? How about real life?
There's only a handful of cars that people even, you know, can do that to in their head. So it's fine, Nate.
Kind of awkwardly get back to what I was just joke. I was just, do you know where the real Bonnie and Clyde death car is? The actual death car.
Jay Leno's garage?
No. I could give you a million guesses, and I don't think you would guess where it is.
Did a celebrity buy it?
No, it is sitting in the floor of a casino. And that casino is Whiskey Pete's in Prim, Nevada.
Wait.
Oh,
yes.
Nice.
It is sitting, if you go, Whiskey Pete's, which if anybody from LA, anybody that's made the LA to Vegas drive, which I don't even know how many times I've made that drive, Prim, Nevada is like right on the state line. It's the first
casinos
you hit
when you're
driving from LA, because you're right at the state line. It's a very sad place.
There are
like two casinos there, and I don't even know if it's a city necessarily. There's a couple of gas stations. There's Whiskey Pete's.
Is there a roller coaster there, Stim?
Yes, there's
the one across the one across the street has the roller coaster. I can't even think of what that casino is called. I think there might be an outlet mall. But it's the sad. I mean, I've been to Whiskey Pete's. Like, I've never really gambled there, but I've stopped there, you know, like to go to the bathroom. So I've walked around the casino, and it's such a sad casino, because it's like for the degenerate gamblers who can't make it to Vegas without gambling. Like, they need to stop sooner. And it's just sad. And randomly, I was walking through there.
Maybe the tables are just cheaper there.
Oh, God. I'm sure they have like $1 tables. Absolutely. But like the hotel seems very sad. But I was walking through the casino, and I was like, why the hell is the actual car where Bonnie and Clyde were killed in the car, or coming out of the car? Why is that in the world's saddest casino? Like, if you would have told me it was on the floor of like the Flamingo in Vegas, I'd get it. Makes some sense. But Whiskey Pete's, that's insane.
Maybe they bought it a long time ago.
Yeah.
And they just kept it. I mean, you know.
Well, but evidently, I've read up. Evidently, the history of Whiskey Pete's is very sordid and mixed in with organized crime. Like the actual Pete of Whiskey Pete was buried in like an unmarked grave behind the hotel because he was killed by the mob. So I guess it kind of makes sense a little bit.
The other casino that you think of was Buffalo Bills.
That's it, Buffalo Bills. Yes. Yeah, I can picture it.
I've been to Buffalo Bills. Like you, I was driving back, and I wanted to see True Sadness, is what I think my goal
and
was.
And you found it.
And I found it. That is a depressing place. So,
it's also the last opportunity for you to gamble, so if you're on your way out, like, might as well stop in.
It is a good place to get gas. I you know what, and I'm almost positive the reason we stopped there in the first place is because it was our Sunday drive back.
Oh, that's
which
the worst
is
drive
not
back.
Only there is nothing worse than the drive back from Vegas because if you're coming back on a Sunday, traffic is terrible. You're probably hungover. You're definitely down $200 at least. So there's nothing happy. Hell, that was one of the funniest things about the Swingers. How when Jon Favreau and Vince Vaughn are driving into Vegas, they're so excited, yelling Vegas, and they're wearing their suits. And then the drive back, they're just sad and depressed.
That's and silent. Exactly. There's no talking on that drive back.
That's exactly how it is. That drive is rough. Like,
That's why I refuse to drive to Vegas, guys.
I don't blame you.
I feel like I wasn't even until my 30s when I started flying there. Because the drive, there's something exciting about the drive when you're younger. I've been pulled over, been either driving or in a car that's been pulled over so many times for speeding on the way to Vegas. My roommate Sean, friend of the show, I was once with him where we got pulled over twice on the drive to Vegas. He got two tickets. Actually, he got three tickets.
But he has a fast car, doesn't he?
Yeah, he had an Audi. But the second time he got pulled over, he was going so far over the speed limit that he got two tickets. Reckless driving was tacked on, so essentially he got three tickets. Yeah, he had to go to traffic school after that. It was pretty funny, but it's
not funny. Yeah.
It was pretty funny. Another thing that made me feel really old is that I didn't realize it was Coachella this weekend. I guess that's how far either that's how old I've gotten or that's how far Coachella has fallen off. I feel like it used to be a much bigger deal.
No, I think you're just old. I mean, everybody in the 20s that are, you know, my coworkers, they're all talking about it. They all went, you know, so we're just in a different age group.
It's not as big as it used to be. Only because this was the first time it didn't sell out in forever. Back in our heyday, I went to Coachella twice in 2006 and 2008.
Yes.
And back in those days, it would sell out within hours. Yeah. Before it got good, the headliners in 2006 were Daft Punk and Madonna.
No. That was before it got really commercialized and
I was talking about with somebody where we were saying that was
the lineup was great.
That was pre-influencer because social media was not like that was we had MySpace, we had Facebook, but there was Instagram was barely it was very, very young. The concept of an influencer did not really exist. So now all you see are those people.
It's called Paris Hilton.
Yeah, no, that's fair. Like now Coachella is almost more known for the influencer TikTok folks who go there just to take photos of their outfits. Like they don't go for music anymore. Then it took 2 years off during the pandemic. Like it didn't. There was no Coachella in 2020 and 2021. Came back last year, but it didn't sell out this year. Sam, you're right. The lineup was. It was weird. The lineup, because I caught up on it after the fact. The lineup itself kind of sucked. It was like the three headliners. Friday night was Lana Del Rey, who it's not. I get it. Music's totally subjective. I don't really understand Lana Del Rey. Like I guess she's fine.
If you're gonna headline something like Coachella, like you need to have energy. She does not. Her music
exactly.
Is just like, you want to go to bed.
Exactly.
Like, I don't understand.
They were saying
I'd rather go to the other tent and do like and go to the Neon Carnival afterwards and just dance.
Yeah. Like, yeah. No.
I
don't either. But she has such a diehard fan base. Like her fan, you know, anytime a fan base has a name,
good for them.
The Beavers or the Swifters, they're called the Lunatics.
Good
and then Saturday night was Tyler the Creator, and then Sunday was Doja Cat. And I guess those are names I recognize. That, but again, I'm old, so maybe those.
Yeah, they're fun. I mean, those are fun hacks. I mean, Tyler the Creator like went there when he was like a kid. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
Like, him headlining. I get his music. It's just not my thing. You know, like sure, good for you. Same with Doja Cat. Like, you know, Kira wants to always play Doja Cat because she curses all the time and she thinks it's cool or whatever because her friends are listening to it. And I'm just like, you're not listening to Doja Cat, kid. Like, I'm sorry. Like, you want to listen to Nicki Minaj and, like, Cardi B? Like, I'm sorry.
Technically the big headliner was the big reunion of No Doubt, yeah. Which that speaks to us.
So Coach Taylor has been the best thing to happen to Coachella.
That's another thing is that I think the people that enjoy it for the music, which maybe they're the older folks like us, they've been so good about like the Coachella does their own live stream and they're so good with it. The cameras they have, like the cameras in the audience, the cameras on stage, like you watch the live stream. Drones. It's better than being there. It's like the quality of the live stream is so high that you just don't need to go anymore.
You're not surrounded by like sweaty, dirty people. Like,
yeah. Oh God, it's hot.
And then you have to go to the bathroom in the middle of the set, and you're like, "Fuck!" Like, I have to leave. I'm not gonna leave. You know what I mean? Like, it's just obnoxious. Like for me, it's like obnoxious people around me the entire time. And I don't like that. I barely like going to shows like that are inside with where I have a seat,
I will freely admit the only reason I went the 2 years is because of, I had like the super extreme VIP access. Like I wouldn't go as a normal one, I wouldn't go as one of the normal folks that just is, you know, camps out or just does that shit. Like I was backstage. Like I only go that way. But the thing
VIP is different now too, by the way.
I had, because my cousin worked for AG Live, which puts on the show. Like I had above VIP. I could stand on stage and I could go back where the musicians' trailers are, which was, so I could get out of the heat. I could go get free drinks. I could do all kinds of shit like that I couldn't, that a normal person couldn't do.
Right.
But I wouldn't
Why? Where was I when this was happening? I'm kidding.
I went with, well, 08, I went with Lisa and friend of the show, Dave Brown. I don't really know.
Of course. I don't think you invited me.
I'm sure there was a reason. I couldn't tell you what that reason was.
I'm just giving you shit. I think who won
06?
Was that Beastie Boys?
No, 06 was the big headliners were Madonna and Daft Punk. That was the legendary Daft Punk show.
Okay.
And then 08, the big cut. And I think this is why Lisa Kane wanted to come with, is the big headliner in 08 Prince. Prince. Yeah.
That makes sense.
And Prince was awesome. He was
absolutely
awesome.
Well, they didn't announce Prince until right before, but you should watch the documentary. The documentary is really good, actually. Because, I want to say it's on YouTube. So if you go to the Coachella, live stream area, there's, a Coachella channel, and then there's, a documentary that they made a few years ago, in 2000. I think during the pandemic, they're like, we might as well make a documentary because we can't really do anything this year. And it was all about, Golden Voice, and it was fantastic. Like, it talks about, the early days of Golden Voice and, how they used to do punk and, rap shows and, nobody would secure them and everything. And then they became this, company that just put on Coachella, as an experiment. And then, AEG bought them. And I think they're, separate again now.
Yeah, I think AEG. Yeah, my cousin, I've talked to him about it more recent years. And he says that he really has no association with it anymore. So he couldn't get tickets now if he wanted to. But the No Doubt thing kind of made me a little sad because just the if you watch that live stream and there was like the Don't Speak, the live stream version of Don't Speak where the cameras are like behind Gwen on stage and showing, and they showed the audience, like she still sounds incredible. I love that she was like just doing her whole old school outfit thing, like her whole punk ska thing she used to do. She did not do the bindi anymore because that's probably I don't know if she can get away with the bindi as much as she used to be able to. But it just made me sad that so many young folks in the audience didn't really seem into it because they didn't know it. They know Gwen from The Voice, but I mean, the Tragic Kingdom is going to be 30 years old next year.
Why?
They're like, what happened to all the Gwen Stefani songs? They're like, why isn't Gwen singing her songs?
I'm songs. Well, God, even Sam, even Gwen Stefani's solo stuff, Holla Back Girl and those are 20 years old. Like, yeah. Holla Back Girl came out in like 2005.
You can listen to all of their music right now. It's a plethora of libraries. It's just kids choose.
It's hard to find stuff too. There's so much for kids to listen to these days.
It's not that hard.
They did try to make it younger by they brought out Olivia Rodrigo to play with No Doubt. She sang Bathwater, which is actually one of the more it was a single, so it was not like it's a B-side, but it's not really one of No Doubt's better known songs. But the song that song was on their second big album, Return of Saturn. That song came out in 2000. Olivia Rodrigo was born in 2003.
I remember when that came out because friend of the show Mandy was interning at Interscope, and she gave me that album. And I saw that tour because they toured with No Doubt toured with U2, and I went to that show.
I went to it was amazing. Sam, I went to it with you.
Yeah.
Yeah,
I remember
that. I think on back-to-back nights, you and I did U2, No Doubt, and then the very next, I'm almost positive it was the very next night we drove down to San Diego for Jimmy Eat World and Weezer. I'm almost positive it was two nights in a row. Olivia Rodrigo is 3 years younger than that song, Bathwater. Olivia Rodrigo was born in 2003, but the weird thing about Coachella, I just was kind of following it after the fact, is the acts, like you said, the acts themselves didn't seem very big, but all the guest stars they brought out were huge, which is something Coachella's done for a while. But like Lana Del Rey brought out Billie Eilish, and people thought that she was going to bring out Taylor Swift because Lana Del Rey and Taylor Swift are like best friends and have done songs together. So
and Taylor was there this weekend. So
and Taylor was there. And like
not on that night though, because she was at Sushi Park.
Yeah, yeah. It's and then like
that was documented heavily.
Oh, okay.
Yes, it was. And then Vampire Weekend was actually a last minute addition, so they were there. And I feel like that's a band from our era of Coachella. And they brought up Paris Hilton, old school Paris Hilton. Justin Bieber performed with another artist named Thames. I'm not familiar with Thames. Renee Rapp, you know, who's kind of gotten bigger now because of the Mean Girls musical and all that. She brought out Kesha. And I feel like Kesha is somebody who in the past would have been a headliner.
They have a whole social media platform named after her song. I'm kidding.
That's true. They perform TikTok, not surprisingly, but and also, not surprisingly, Kesha changed the lyrics slightly because, you know, the opening lyrics of the song is wake up in the morning feeling like P. Diddy. So now she switched the lyrics to wake up in the morning, fuck you, P. Diddy. Oh. So I recently she did that.
But you know what? The best thing that I saw, which I didn't really watch too much of it, of the live show, Sublime, his son was singing. And
yeah,
he wasn't,
no, that
like,
was
that great, but I loved it. I love Sublime. Like he did all the bangers.
Sublime was always such a weird. Sublime was always such a weird band where I can't think of the guy's name. It escapes me. The lead singer. That he died before they became anything. Like every single everything that they became he was already gone.
He was popular in LA.
Oh yeah, no. In the local scene, he was huge. But when they, you know, Santeria, I can't think of their other hit songs. By the time that they became like a hit, like, you know, people knew them nationwide, like around the country, he was already gone. You know, it wasn't like a Nirvana situation.
That's kind of one of the reasons why kind of blew up, you know.
Because
of his death.
It all just makes me feel old.
I love ska, so that was a great weekend for me with No Doubt and Sublime. And then the Deftones were playing too. I love the Deftones because Central Valley Pride.
The older people in the audience would have just loved that shit, but I feel like the Zoomers there would have no idea who these bands are. which is just sad.
No, but they could discover them. I mean,
that's true.
I mean, the whole reason why we Kira and Rezzy love Jungle, so we watched that, and even though it was kind of later, and I'm like, you could stay up and watch Jungle, it's fine, you know? So that was fun to experience that with them. But there was there's a lot of good bands that were playing that I kind of just watched casually, you know, in the background. So that's nice that they have it. I really appreciate that they do the live stream because
yeah, it's very cool.
Like the desert's the last place I want to be at a concert scene. So awesome.
And it's
more power.
And honestly, there's
Blur, by the way.
There's four stages there. So even if you're there, you have to look at the schedule ahead of time, and you're going to miss acts, because during the headlining set, the acts are going to happen at the same time. So yeah, it's awesome for a live stream that you can watch them after the fact, and did you see, just getting more nostalgic, that the Courtney Love interview that's come out?
Oh God.
Where I haven't really thought about her in a while. I don't know if she was interviewed. I was trying to think, why is she doing this big interview in the Standard, the English British? I don't know if it's a magazine or a paper. I think it's just a magazine. She did an interview that I guess came out this week, or at least more. It became newsworthy because she went scorched earth, as Courtney Love is wont to do. And I was wondering why she was doing this interview. And I was like, well, we did literally just pass the 30th anniversary of Kurt's suicide. It was last week. So maybe that was involved.
Alleged.
Oh, yeah. Potentially more than a suicide. It's hard to say. But she did this thing with the Standard. And she went scorched earth on every big female musician. She went against – she just started attacking female, women. I don't really know why.
Like the newer ones or the older ones?
No, the biggest. She went after Beyonce. She went after Taylor Swift. She went after Madonna. She went after Lana Del Rey. Those are four of the most diehard fan bases that I would not attack.
Yeah, she doesn't care though. It's Courtney Love.
Her whole point of the point she was making with all these was saying that all female artists now are just clones of each other. Nobody's original. And then she went in specifically on Beyonce. This was her quote on Beyonce. She was talking about the Cowboy Carter album. She said, as a concept, I love it. I just don't like Beyonce's music. Which, you know, fair
That's
criticism.
Fair
criticism. I don't disagree with her entirely. But to say that with that, I would be terrified to say that with that. That's the Beyhive. And then,
it's Courtney Love.
No, and then Taylor Swift. She said Taylor Swift is not important. She might be a safe space for girls, and she's probably like the Madonna of now, which burn against Madonna. But she's not interesting as an artist. Okay, fair. Then on Lana Del Rey, she said, I really think she should just have taken 7 years off. I don't even know what that means. I don't know why she just picked 7 years. And then on Madonna, she said, I don't like Madonna, and she doesn't like me. Which that part is
that's not surprising.
No. Like, do you remember that made everybody, or made me specifically, remember that
the
thing at the 95 VMAs where Madonna was doing the interview with Kurt Loder up on the platform, and Courtney Love was below throwing makeup, and Madonna turned around and on camera said, oh, that's Courtney Love down there. She just wants attention.
Yeah, it's true.
Yeah.
She's not wrong.
I mean, Courtney Love's turning 60 this year. Madonna's already in her
60s. No, but
this
60s. Is the thing. This is the thing. Live Through This, fucking amazing album. She's really just I'm as a person, what the F, Courtney? Her music is great. I loved her music, as a teenager and everything. I mean, obviously the newer stuff I don't ever listen to, but she meant so much to so many girls our age.
Oh, yeah.
I don't understand. I just don't understand her now. What the hell? It's kind of ridiculous. It's I mean, obviously Tori Amos for me is my standard, but Courtney Love and Hole was amazing at the time.
Yeah, no, she. I there was Live Through This, and then what was it? Celebrity Skin, I think, was their other huge album. Which, I mean, Courtney a few years ago decided to go against Olivia Rodrigo, who also has a diehard fan base, but Courtney Love's critique of Olivia Rodrigo, this was back in 2021, was that Olivia Rodrigo released like this promotional film or promotional photo for one of her singles. And it looked very, very close to the Live Through This album cover. You know, that iconic album cover of like the prom queen with smeared makeup. It did look very, very similar, and Courtney Love called her out for that. So actually, that was a very fair critique. But a lot of the Olivia Rodrigo fans who had no idea who Courtney Love was came out and said, "Who is this woman? Why is she attacking Olivia?" But you know what?
Honestly, could be an homage. Like, that's the thing. Olivia Rodrigo listens to a lot of older music, and she's inspired by a lot of these women. So maybe it's homage. Who cares? She doesn't copyright. She can't copyright that shit. It's not a trademark. Like, people can copy it. Every art is derivative of art anyway. Like, what the hell? Who the fuck cares? She should be happy because, honestly, she's irrelevant right now.
Well, it's funny you say that with, like, you know, that it's like an homage and it's not really a direct copy. I don't know if you guys saw the trailer to the new Joker movie, the new Joker sequel, which is a musical, oddly enough. It's very strange to me that they decided to make them. Yeah, it's a musical with Lady Gaga plays Harley Quinn and then Joaquin Phoenix. And the trailer was just released and people noticed immediately that the entire art direction cinematography, at least based on the trailer, looks a lot like La La Land. Like, it looks like they copied exact shots from La La Land. And somebody thought to ask the art director for La La Land, being like, "Does this feel like they just copied your shit?" And he's like, "No, you know," he's like, "Nah, it's, you know, I probably stole this from somebody else, so it's you know, whatever." So maybe all art's stolen, I guess. I don't know.
It's not stolen. It's derivative. There's a difference. There's a difference in stealing. Fine. Like look at Shepard Fairey. He made an entire career out of it. Banksy, it's fine, in my opinion. But the thing is that, like, you don't own this picture, Courtney Love. You don't own this idea of a prom queen crying with smeared makeup.
No.
You don't own that. I'm sorry. But if somebody wants to kind of do an homage or something to that, maybe just be like, okay, Olivia Rodrigo's album, very kind of rockish, sure, you know? She's lucky that she's even, like, you know, even being talked about in the conversation. Like I said, Courtney Love is just irrelevant right now.
Yeah. I still love
it. I'm just really sad about it, because, like I said, Courtney Love's music, great. The person, I'm not a big fan of.
Fair enough.
Now, damn, Sam, now I want to go.
You could be punk rock, and you could be anti-establishment. You could do all that and not piss off people like that and just do it the way that she does it, because she does it on purpose.
I don't know why you keep, like, honestly, at this point in time, you're 60-some-odd years old. She's, what, 64? What was her? She's 9 years older than me? No, 15. No, what is it, 15 years older than me?
Who? Which one?
Courtney Love.
That's good math.
I think Courtney's the only. She's
born
turning
in 64.
I think she's turning 64.
No, she's born in 64.
Oh, born in 64, yeah.
So she's 59, I think.
Oof, yeah. No, born in 64, she'll be 60.
Yeah.
Yeah, yeah.
So.
Damn, Sam, now you got me. Now I want to go listen to Live Through This. You know the show I'd love to see, Sam, that I saw. We didn't see the Vans Warped Tour. We saw Inland Invasion together, which that was a great show. But I don't know if the Warped. I don't even know if they ever attempted to like do a retro, like a new version of the Vans Warped Tour. I don't know if that. If they'd even try to make that exist anymore, but I would love to, even if they're old bands that like probably shouldn't still be performing, I would love to see that.
You totally cut out. I'm sorry. I just got into my parking lot is just ridiculous. So what did you want to see? And did you say Inland Invasion?
Oh, no. I was saying we saw Inland Invasion together, but I was thinking more like the Warped Tour, the band's Warped Tour.
Oh God. Like there's a tour. That was always that weird thing. It was a punk rock tour. And then it went really weird after.
Yeah. What was that, Sam?
Lollapalooza?
Yeah, it's in Chicago.
They left for a while, and then it used to be like a traveling tour, which you don't see many of those anymore. Now they're all like in one location. Yeah, and for the last, I don't know how long it's been in Chicago. It's like, I think it's usually Labor Day weekend, I want to say. But I don't know if it's still happening. I know they probably took it off during the pandemic too. Or Bonnaroo. I don't know if Bonnaroo still
exists. That's an interesting one. I haven't thought about that one.
Yeah.
Bonnaroo still exists.
I'm sure.
But even that one changed. In the beginning, Bonnaroo was known as like the music festival for like jam bands.
Yes.
Like Fish, Dave Matthews. But then they started having like hip hop acts and things, and people were really upset because they totally changed it. I know Lilith Fair do like a long, they hadn't done a show in forever, and they did one this, or maybe it's upcoming, or maybe it was last year. I don't remember. They brought it back for like 1 year.
I'm trying to think.
Sure.
I don't know.
I
don't even know the last concert. I can't even remember the last concert I went to be honest with you. It might have been before when I was still in LA when we saw Hootie and the Blowfish. Might have been that, honestly. It was Hootie and the Blowfish and Bare Naked Ladies. It was a hell of a show.
Was that at the Hollywood Bowl?
It was at the Hollywood Bowl, yeah. Yeah.
Yeah.
You think you're what?
I think I was like trying to go to that show and didn't end up going, so I was kind of bummed.
Yeah, I went with like Annie.
You know Josh loves Bare Naked Ladies.
Bare Naked Ladies, it was co-headliners, but they went on before Hootie and the Blowfish. But they were so good that by the time that their set was over, I didn't really want to stay for Hootie and the Blowfish, to be honest. But it was great. I mean, hell, I love that they play the Big Bang Theory theme song like as part of their show. They play the long version, though. They play the full length version, not just the short version that they used on the show.
It reminded me of wasn't there like a whole Friends episode around Hootie and the Blowfish?
Yeah, because was it Monica or Rachel made out with one of the Blowfish? That was the joke.
I think they made out with
one of the Blowfish. They didn't know which one.
I think
the whole purpose of that episode, if I remember correctly, is that the, you know, Phoebe and Joey couldn't afford to go.
Yeah, it was like they realized that half the group was
not wealthy,
yeah, half of them were financially stable and like half of them were not.
So
Monica was starting out in her like culinary career.
Well, I think in the early season, she was like a full on chef, but not at her own restaurant, right? Like she struggled.
I think like early on, she was struggling. Like she was like doing that the dress up chef and things like that.
Oh, with the diner, she had the balloon breast. Yeah.
And then Rachel was Rachel for a long time, and then obviously Joey was Joey until he got the soap opera, and then
lost.
Phoebe just never really had money.
Yeah. So Chandler had his job.
I don't know what a paleontologist in a museum makes, but at least Ross had a steady job. And that was in the early days. That was when the joke was that Chandler had a job that nobody understood.
Yes.
He was a transponster.
Yes.
He was a transponster. Yeah.
He had a weenus, but nobody knew what a weenus was. But yeah. Yeah. Rest in peace, Matthew Perry.
The good times.
Yeah, it's really challenging. Just kind of thinking about Hootie and the Blowfish, because you know how like the whole like Cowboy Carter came out and everyone's like, no one's ever done this, and I'm like, Darius Rucker.
Yeah.
You heard of him?
Yeah, he's carved quite a lane for himself in country music. Like he's a big deal. I don't know if he likes still being called Hootie, because technically he never was. Like that was kind of like the joke that people just called him Hootie, as if it was like that was the name of the band that they, you know.
Hey, they chose that name.
They did. But yeah, I mean, he's become a big country star.
Well, I mean, let's think about it. Like Hootie's not that far off from country to begin with. Like,
no, that's true.
It's like a little bit of a change of the musical makings, and then you're in country.
That's true.
I was listening to early Garth Brooks the other day, kind of going through like a '90s country thing. And I'm sorry, the Thunder Rolls is still so freaking good. It's one of my favorite songs.
There was I mean, Sam, our entire first 2 years of college, back when we used to walk around with Discmen. I would listen to just nonstop when I was two entire years of college. I would walk around listening to the Garth Brooks Double Live album because it was so fucking good. That's another thing that's happening more recently. Like, I remember seeing a thing on TikTok and Twitter where people did not really understand. The younger folks don't really understand. They don't know how big Garth Brooks was. Like, they know the name. They didn't realize. Like, they see. I think it started because somebody was like, noticed that Garth Brooks has, I think, 10 platinum albums. Diamond albums. Diamond means selling. I think 10 million to be is diamond. 1 million is platinum, 10 million is diamond. And Garth Brooks has like 10 diamond albums, which is as big as you can get. Insane. And a lot of young people are like, who's Garth Brooks? And of course that turned into the Chris Gaines, us older folks being like, how on earth could you not know who Garth Brooks is? And he has so, and another thing that's hard about it, his music is very hard to find streaming. The only place his music streams is Amazon Music. He's not on any of the other streamers. So it's kind of hard to find his music, but man, Thunder Rolls, so many good, what is the Baton Rouge? Colton Baton Rouge is, oh man, God, so many.
Friends in Low Places.
In Low Places, I feel like is still iconic just because it's like the go-to karaoke song, but he has so many better songs, but oh my God.
It is funny, but then again, it's like, the amount of music that was there then and how now where we're at with music, it's completely different than what it was back in our day.
Yeah, like back in our day, you had to, well, you know, everything was on the radio.
Everything was dictated to us. Like the music, quote-unquote popular, was dictated to us, and we didn't really have any other way of listening to other music unless you went to a different country and bought the CDs or whatever. You know what I mean? Like, that's just...
That was the best, Sam, when you'd find, not only, I mean, back in the day, they didn't necessarily have, like, I guess some people re-released, like, deluxe version of their albums that had extra tracks, but for the most part, you could find, like, versions of albums from other countries. Like, I still remember to this day, at Blockbuster Music in downtown Westwood, I bought Baby One More Time was the name of the album. I bought the Australian version of that album, and the Australian version had 5 extra songs that she never released on the American version. Like, that was a thing, but now with streaming and everything, you get all the songs immediately.
Yep.
And you don't have to wait for that random Tuesday to go get an album. Wait, if you wanted that.
Tuesday release day, but CDs and
Tuesday at Tower Records.
Oh my God. Oh, that was the best.
We're going through a nostalgia kick today, aren't we?
Level of nostalgia that warmed my heart. Did you see the whole Conan O'Brien thing this weekend?
I did not.
Okay, so I got scared, actually, because I was in Chicago this weekend, and sort of I was not really online. I didn't really see what was going on. But every time I did look, I was visiting Samantha, and the kids are wild and crazy, and I just, you know, it was a very long, anxious, stressful weekend. I noticed on Twitter that people just were posting – like, everybody's Twitter – all these tweets were like, you know, they'd say something along the lines of, since everybody's posting about Conan O'Brien, let me show this clip. And Conan O'Brien was trending. And I was looking at it and I was like, oh my God, please tell me nothing happened to Conan O'Brien. Because, like, why did everybody all of a sudden, why are they posting clips, like almost eulogizing him? And then I found that it all started because he did a Hot Ones episode that just came out. And I have not watched it yet, but evidently it's incredible. Like, it's so good that's the reason.
It's actually really good. It's really good.
Evidently, but that's why he was blowing up on Twitter, because it was so good. So many people start, I guess people were like, people who weren't familiar with, like, who is this Conan O'Brien? So people were kind of going back. Because, you know, I mean, obviously he's still a name. but he hasn't been on TV for
a
little bit.
He has a podcast.
Well, no, it's funny. It's so funny that I when I was driving home, you know, this, St. Louis to Chicago is about the same as LA to Vegas. And so it's, you know, 4.5 hours-ish, 5 hours. And we were listening. My parents love, my mom especially loves Conan's podcast. Conan O'Brien Needs a Friend. Okay. So we were listening to it while this was happening on Twitter. This, like, so I didn't really understand. So when I got back and saw that, I was like, well, that's random. We were just listening to Conan. His podcast is so good. We were listening to the recent Larry David episode. And there's just something about Conan where he brings out, I don't know what it is, where I guess the people he interviews just love him so much that he brings out the best interview. Like, Larry David is peak Larry David. He's just so funny. And he, like, the Harrison Ford episode of Conan's podcast, one, you know, Harrison Ford is so legendary for being a terrible interview. He's this, like, monotone curmudgeon. Like, people want him to be Han Solo or Indiana Jones, but he's not. But for whatever reason, Conan brings out the fun in Harrison Ford. But, you know, his show, the TBS show, has been off the air for several years. The whole Tonight Show debacle, where he was only on the Tonight Show for 7 months, that was more than 10 years ago. That was like, I think that was 14 years ago. I think that was 2011. Then of course,
something about, like, talks of him coming back to the Tonight Show.
I haven't heard that. Well, he was actually on the Tonight Show last week, with Fallon, and it was like, I guess it was the first time he'd ever come back to the Tonight Show. I guess he never went back when Jay was hosting, when Jay replaced him. So he was back, and it was a really big deal that they were talking about it. But it's not the same stage. Fallon doesn't do it from the old late night stage. Kelly Clarkson's show is on the old late night, Conan's old stage. So Conan was doing a whole bit about fighting with Kelly Clarkson. But, you know, I mean, all these clips that people were posting on Twitter, all the great, you know, like, Conan clips over the years, like the, you know, the Walker Texas Ranger lever and the in the year 2000, just all his old great bits. The
masturbating bear,
just all of them. The Paul Rudd, every time Paul Rudd would come on with the clip from Mac and Me, like, just all of that shit.
The best. That's my favorite. Paul Rudd, Mac and Me is my favorite.
Oh, it's so good. And you knew it was coming.
There's a whole
single
YouTube clip that compiles every single one, and I watch it sometimes to make me laugh. And it's like a good, like, maybe 10, 15 minutes worth of footage. And it's so funny every single time.
You knew Paul Rudd was going to do it, but they sold it so well where it was like, you, each time you were like, okay, is Paul Rudd really going to show a real clip this time or no? And of course, no, never. And it was such a random thing because Mac and Me is such an obscure movie that without that Paul Rudd thing, nobody would know what that movie was. Because it was such a low budget, lame ripoff of E.T. But it was
so bad.
Yeah, he was, and they were Larry David was talking about it because, you know, they went all the way back to the Seinfeld era. It tells you how much he was loved, but also how much of a prodigy he was, that he went from being like a writer for SNL and a writer for The Simpsons to them giving him David Letterman's old show. I remember we were in the eighth grade, Sam, when Conan premiered, and it was 1994, and nobody had any idea who he was. I remember his first show being like, "Who the fuck is this?" And they get like that Letterman show.
Unfortunately, because of that, they hired Jimmy Fallon for the Tonight Show, and that just pisses me off.
But it's like, you know, Letterman was this iconic, that the late night was like, it was Letterman was huge. Then when, you know, Carson retires and everything shifts, but they give this iconic time slot to a guy nobody had ever heard of. Lorne Michaels was behind it. Lorne Michaels loved Conan. So he was behind helping him get the late night. But it was a really big deal. Like, to get that show and nobody's ever heard of you, that just tells you how highly respected he was behind the scenes.
Yeah, and I remember them telling a story about how, what's her Phoebe's real name? gosh, I forgot. But there were like, friends. Yeah, Lisa Kudrow and him were really good friends because I think they did like improv together.
I think it was Groundlings together.
Yeah.
Yeah, almost positive.
And he was like struggling. Yeah, he was apparently struggling. He's like, I don't know if I should do this. Like, he was like, you know, definitely like, and she's like, you have to do this.
Yeah.
Which, good for her for saying that to him, because like, honestly, like, you're never going to get this opportunity ever again, you know? And it's true. So,
but that was really
good for her. And it sucks.
What was that?
I mean, that was
all the drama, but he's great.
I mean, that was really the first thing he did on camera. Yeah, it's funny, when he was a writer for SNL, if you go back and look at old bits, like, sometimes he's a background character, but he never had lines. I remember vividly I think it was the first time, they've done it so many times since, but SNL did the 5-time host club. Like, that's become a joking thing that when you become a 5-time host, you get to go, you join the club, and they have their own jackets. Like, it's this.
Yeah, that was Justin Timberlake 5th one. I remember that. That was the.
Yeah. Well, the first time I remember them doing it was when Tom Hanks did his 5th hosting. And the joke was, you know, he went into this club room with all the other 5-time hosts, and it was like Chevy Chase and Martin Short and Steve Martin and all the, you know, and all these hosts. And in that bit, in the bit that they did, where it was this special lounge club, the butler who opened the door for everybody, the doorman, was Conan, and it was a very, very young Conan. He had no lines, but it was clearly back when he was just a writer. But like, that was the only time you ever saw him on camera, because obviously I don't even think he ever did any voices on The Simpsons. He just wrote them. It was so fun to hear him talk with Larry David about writing skits, because Larry David was a writer on SNL, very like back way, way back in the day. So they were talking about writing skits. Oh, and then we had one of the second episode I listened to with my parents after this Larry David episode was the Kristen Wiig episode. I highly recommend that, of Conan's podcast. Larry, Kristen Wiig is awesome too. And she was talking about the sketches that she wrote. And it's just, it's really cool. And, you know, I know that David Spade and who does he host his podcast with, where they talk about, Dana Carvey. They host a podcast specifically about SNL, like the behind the scenes story of SNL. But it's cool to hear the old writers talk about how hard it is to get a sketch on air and how many sketches get cut. And, you know, Conan had these great stories about sketches that he wrote for Phil Hartman. And like, he's talked about a few of them, and I remember those. Cause, you know, back, you know, we sound so old when you talk about, it's such like a tired argument to be like how good SNL used to be. But it's true, because
I think it has its ebbs and flows and its waves, to be honest with you. It's like right now, I think it's getting back towards a higher level.
The Ryan Gosling episode, the Gosling episode from, what was that, 2 weeks ago?
Last week. No, it was this past weekend.
Was it past this?
Yeah.
I think it was the whatever it was. Some of those skits were amazing. Like, because I think part of it is that Ryan Gosling has become so well known on SNL for how badly he breaks in the skits, but breaking makes everything so much funnier when the actors like can't stop laughing like that. I think some of the funniest all time SNL skits.
I send you guys.
Yeah.
I send you guys the Beavis and Butthead, right?
Yeah. Yeah.
Oh my. Okay. Yeah. That's all. Oh my God. The Beavis and Butthead. I could not. It's because I couldn't stop laughing. I can't think of that cast member's name who was the one who kept breaking every time she'd look over her shoulder and see.
Oh, Heidi Gardner.
And I have to think that she just never, you know, that they didn't show her that ahead of time, because there's no reason that she would have broken that much. Look, just because she only broke every time she turned around. So I feel like that was probably on par with like, that's what they used to do with when Bill Hader played Stefan. Like, the reason Stefan broke so like Bill Hader laughed so much was because he didn't know what lines were coming, because John Mulaney wrote those Stefan skits, and he would change all the lines at the last minute. So Bill Hader was reading them for the first time. So I have to think that's why, but that skit, and then of course Ryan Gosling just can't stop laughing every single skit, which just makes everything funnier. Like, my all-time favorite SNL skit was the Debbie Downer skit with Lindsay Lohan. when they're like, sit, you know, Rachel Dratch plays Debbie Downer, and Jimmy, they're sitting at like a table at like a pizza place, and it's Lindsay Lohan, Jimmy Fallon, Horatio Sands, and Rachel Dratch. And they're making, Jimmy Fallon starts losing it, and then Lindsay Lohan starts losing it, and Jimmy Fallon and Horatio Sands starts losing it. And it got so bad that Jimmy Fallon could not stop laughing, and he had to walk off stage. And it was,
well, Jimmy Fallon's the worst.
He was really bad. But then even Rachel Dratch, because if you remember the Debbie Downer skits, every time she'd say something really depressing, the camera would zoom in on her and there'd be like that trombone. And it towards the end, she couldn't stop laughing. And it was just so good. And Ryan Gosling, everything he, I love him. Like, you know, he was the best part of the Oscars with his Ken thing. Mm. I just saw the trailer for his new movie Fall Guy. That looks great. I love the guy.
He's lovable. I think he's great. I think people were mad because he kept breaking it on SNL. But I'm like, you guys don't understand. That's the whole point. Like, SNL is not supposed to be serious.
No, they've always told stories about how much Lorne Michaels hates when actors break.
Yeah,
but at the same time, those become the most legend. You know, those become the ones. There's the other skit I can think of that is notorious for actors breaking, and it's one of the all time funniest. Was the I think it was Sean Hayes was the host, and he, Jimmy Fallon, and Will Ferrell like worked in a Hollywood. Store.
Yes, where he was on the scooterized.
Yeah,
thing
he came
and the
in
cell
it, like it was supposed to be like a super like posh hip clothing store, and they all talked very snooty, and Will Ferrell had like the drove in on a scooter and had the tiny tiny cell phone.
Yeah,
and Sean Hayes and Jimmy Fallon were laughing so hard they both had to walk off stage. Like, those are the ones people remember. Like, if Lorne Michaels may hate that, you know, whatever. But those are the funniest ones.
Well, I fully agree. But, you know, then again, it's a show. And on that high note, we rarely leave on a high note recently, so.
No, we didn't kill anybody. Well, God, I hope we didn't kill anybody this week. Oh,
you named a lot of people, Nate.
I named a lot of people. All of them pretty young. So, shit. Okay, well,
just
my
so
bad.
You know.
My bad.
If anything happens, we know who to blame.
People die. It happens.
It's true. It's true.
All right. Well, we'll get out of here.
Well, that's really a way to end on a high note.